Welcome back to this State of Opportunity special. I'm Cynthia Canty. The State of Opportunity team explored foster care in Michigan, particularly what happens once kids age out of foster care. In most states, you age out when you're 18, totally on your own. Now, Michigan is one of the few states giving young people the option to stay in foster care until they're 21. That can be helpful. One of the young people we met during State of Opportunity was Jasmine Ukta of Detroit. Jasmine aged out of Michigan's foster care system before the state raised its age limit. Jasmine was only 19 when she landed in the real world and had absolutely no safety net. Let's listen to a bit of reporter Jennifer Guerra's conversation from 2015 with Jasmine Ukta about her rough start.
It was pretty scary, to be honest. Every 18 and 19-year-old thinks they're ready. Everybody does. But you're not. No. You're not. You're not ready for shut-off notices. You're not ready for eviction notices. You're not ready for car repossessions.
Well, let me ask you a couple. Let's do a little checklist here. So when you were when you aged out at 19, did you have a job?
When I first aged out, no.
Did you have a checking account?
No.
So I'm guessing you didn't have a savings account either?
No.
Did you have a car?
No. I didn't even know how to properly fill my refrigerator, honestly.
Like, what did you think went in your refrigerator?
I bought a bunch of snacks and junk that I never could really have as a child. Like, I bought everything that was horrible for me, so.
You didn't have your mom saying, more broccoli, put more broccoli in there, and put apples and milk and orange juice.
No, I didn't. I had, like, 10 boxes of cereal and 1 gallon of milk and some Hot Pockets.
Jasmine Ukta can laugh about it now. But back then, she says she was really upset about how the whole thing went down when she aged out. The state had set her up with some transitional housing, but it fell through after a few months. She had nowhere to go. So she went to the only place she knew, her mom's house, a place Child Protective Services had removed her from twice.
The system does set you up, not for failure, but it sets you up to be a statistic, either to be in jail or to do some type of criminal activity or to go back to where you came from. So I feel like the system set me up to go back to my biological mother, the person that the state felt like you never should have been with in the first place.
Ukta was placed in foster care when she was 7 years old. She went back to live with her mom when she was 12, but wound up back in foster care by the time she was 16 and stayed there until she aged out. During that time, she says she went to 15 different schools and lived in 24 different foster homes. The older she got, the more time she had to move.
A lot of people did not want to deal with teenagers, so I was put in something called temporary placements. So I would be put into a temporary placement just about every week of my life, because these parents didn't want a teenager. They preferred children.
You mean, so you would stay there, and then if they said, oh, we have a 2-year-old who needs a place, they would kind of get you out of there and take the 2-year-old.
Exactly. It made me feel like no one actually wanted me, to be honest.
That was in 2015. So let us see what Jasmine Ukta has been doing since that report aired nearly 2.5 years ago. Jasmine, welcome.
Hello. Hi, everyone. How are you?
Now, Jasmine, just a bit of context. How old are you now?
I'm 26 years old. I'll be 27 August 10th.
Okay. So not quite 10 years, but you've had quite a few years since you aged out of the foster system. And I think about it. You had to weather so much instability while you were in the system. As we heard, 15 different schools, 24 different foster homes. How'd you deal with all of that when you were so young?
I dealt with it in a way where, and I don't mean to get spiritual, but I believe in God, and I felt like God sent certain people in my life to keep me afloat and to keep me motivated and to keep me inspired and to tell me, despite the situation, that I can overcome. And I really appreciate those individuals being in my life and helping me see the silver lining out of different situations that I was faced.
And someone who made a really big difference in your life after foster care was a special mentor. Tell us about her and how she helped you.
Yes, her name is Saba Gabari, and she works with Park West Foundation. She created this program called Blue Babies, which was a program where foster youth, younger foster youth, such as myself and others, we would come together as a community, as like a big brother, big sister type of program, and we would help volunteer, provide rides for each other to and for the work and classes. We would volunteer at churches or whatever program that needed some type of assistance or needed some type of help. Like, we were a community and also a family. And Ms. Saba Gabari, she showed me that humans really do have a heart, despite how sometimes we make mistakes and certain situations have us react a certain way. But if you see the silver lining or you think outside of the box, that you can see the beautiful thing in every situation. And I thank God for her and also my pastor. Her name is Virginia Williams. Because of these two young ladies, I believe that's what saved my life and why I'm so humble and I'm such a peaceful person now.
When you aged out of foster care, it was about the time you started as a freshman at Wayne State University. Tell us what that was like, transitioning from the foster care system to being a full-time college student.
It was very rough at first. My first semester, I didn't do so well because it was my first time on my own and juggling with different things in life and trying to deal with school and keep up with the grades and maintain a dorm without any realistic support besides these young ladies that were in my life. It was very difficult for me, and I felt a little bit envious of other college students who had, you know, more family support, more income to provide for themselves. But through the grace of God, I made it through.
You did leave Wayne State after a couple semesters. What'd you do then?
After then, I started to work several jobs. I had got my first apartment right by, I was very proud to have it by Belle Isle River. And I worked at the Eastern Market for a few years, and then until I got a little bit more stable. And then I returned to Oakland Community College, where I graduated 2015.
And you got some money, didn't you, through a state program called the Fostering Futures Scholarship. That must have made such a difference as you went forward.
Yes, 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 ma'am. That helped a lot with my tuition, and I didn't have to take out as many. Because when I first started at Wayne State University, I didn't know anything about filling out financial aid. I didn't know anything about scholarships. I didn't know what grants were provided for foster youth. And because of Saba Gabari, my mentor, she helped me find resources and different programs and got introduced to different people to network. And they were like, oh, we have this great foster care program, which was Fostering Futures. I wrote a letter. Technically, to be honest, I was not qualified for the program due to the fact I had messed up my first semester. However, after writing a letter and getting several supports, I received a scholarship and I was chosen to speak in front of Governor Snyder.
So you learned to push back, didn't you? You didn't just take what happened and say, okay, that's it. You pushed back.
I pushed back very hard, and it was very successful. I got the scholarship for several semesters. And as I stated, this is what helped me to graduate from Oakland Community College with little to not much debt and loans, which I'm very thankful for because many people can't say that.
And now you're back at Wayne State. What are you studying?
Right now I'm studying business, and I'm also going for social work. This past December, I'm part of a program at Wayne State University called TIP. It's Transitioning to Independence. And this is also a program for foster youth who are in the state of Michigan who need mental, physical, food support. They help out with book scholarships. They help out with tuition and fees. They connected me with a program that sent me to Washington, D.C., which allowed me to get an internship.
I'm hearing that there's help out there that you've been able to take advantage of to get help you get through school, which is really beating the odds, because we know that once kids age out of foster care, they're so much less likely to graduate college. There was one study done by the University of Chicago. It found only 2.5% of former foster kids in the Midwest had graduated from college by age 26. But there you are. You're beating the odds, and you're going to be graduating with this dual degree.
Yes. Is
there anything that you would want to see changed in Michigan's foster care system, something that could make it easier for those who are following you through the system?
Yes. And this is, I went to D.C. to speak on a bill specifically for this, is not to sound biased or anything, but foster youth have an extremely hard time. And this is why the statistics are very low in graduating, because it takes more than just to have the finances to go to college. You also have to have that mental support. You have to have that physical support. You have to have counseling. You have to have someone to help you motivate. And so I feel like what would help more is if different universities and colleges have programs that are stimulated to foster youth that can help support them to aid, because we don't have the family to be there for us. We don't have the family to say, I'll buy you a pen or pencil or notebook, or I'll help, here's $50 towards a $200 book, or, you know, we don't have that extra family to even cook us a meal after class. So I feel like programs like TIP, if it can be expanded across different universities, different states, that would really help out those statistics to help people. Because I know for myself, if I didn't have these programs or these people to help back me up, there's no way possible I would be where I am right now. No way possible. So if we can increase programs to help out foster youth, and also to hire the age cap that's on there, because I found out there's a lot of programs and scholarships that end at 22 and 23 years old, when it's like we're just now getting on our feet and just now getting our mentality right to be able to handle this type of lifestyle once we get to that age. So if we can increase the age cap, and if we can increase the scholarship and programs throughout universities, that will really help out America in general.
Jasmine, I know for so much of your childhood, your mother was not able to be there for you because of her own struggles. But my understanding is the two of you were able to rebuild your relationship over the past couple of years before she passed away last fall.
Yes. In the past 2 years, me and my mother, we have become very, very, very close. Like, we were able to bridge gaps and different things that happened throughout my youth. We were finally able to talk about and to heal old wounds, which I think also helped aid to such, to me being such a peaceful person, is that a lot of hurt that I had before I could let go. And so, unfortunately, when she passed in October, there was no animosity, there was no pain, there was no frustration, no anything. It was that, you know, it was painful that it was my mother and I loved her and I finally got so close to her, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm mad at this person type thing, if you understand.
I do. I do. It's like things were at peace, and that's what you hope for. Jasmine, when you look at where you are in your life right now, and what you've gone through so many years in the foster care system, what are you most proud of?
That I'm still alive, honestly. And
wow.
I haven't lost my mind. I'm sane. I'm not a bitter person. I'm not angry. I'm able to enjoy life in general, and that's the best gift that anybody could ever have, is just to enjoy life.
Jasmine Ukda, we want to thank you for sharing your story with us, for being a part of State of Opportunity, and we wish you the very, very best of luck as you work on those 2 degrees at Wayne State University.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all for having me again.